Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. It's Thursday. We all know what that means.
No, we don't.
Thursday's
we don't.
Birthdays. Oh, geez. Mike, have you used the teen filter? Teen effect, it's called, where it shows.
Are you playing with your phone? We're doing a show here.
I was trying to show Rob what he looked like as a teenager.
Oh, no. It looks like
here's
Robert.
The only way that's going to. Here's what I need. Yes. I need that to be brought into the show. And so
I was just talking about it.
So we can do it when we're talking about it.
We're doing it now, old man.
He wants the visual. That doesn't you holding up a phone.
I'm showing
do
it
us,
to him.
Our listeners any good?
And then you have a mobile device that you can do the same thing on.
I am not talking about me and you, old man. I am talking about the listeners being able to see what we're talking about.
Yeah,
you dunderhead. That's what I'm talking about.
A thundering dunderhead.
Thundering Dunderhead. We'll talk to him later.
Put it in the to-do pile, Mike.
I have something I need to share right
away
on the show
today.
So,
stop the music.
Here are some words we're not going to say anymore.
Okay.
It's been a week. We're not going to say we're having a tough time. It's over. It's ever forward. Twitch would want us to move on.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to do. Damn it. This year is behind us officially. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking about 2023. I'm talking about 2223.
Yes.
Right.
Which kind of dovetails.
Well, if we go by
the
Chinese calendar, then we're jumping into a new year.
But the government is going to only limit us to 1 hour of looking at the Chinese calendar
the year
every day.
Of the porcupine.
That's right.
And let me just say this about that. John Stewart, who's taking a victory lap. A lot of pundits are throwing darts again at Dr. Fauci. Do we have irrefutable, empirical data evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt that this coronavirus did come out of a lab? I have read everything. I have watched everything. I understand that the evidence is strong. I don't have anything that would be described as irrefutable just yet.
Mike.
And first of all, I'm in the camp that believes it did come out of a lab.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, when you're saying, well, I think the evidence is strong that it was animal to animal. And now you're saying, oh, my God, crucify Dr. Fauci. Well, where's your definitive proof? He didn't have it back then. You don't have it right now. Yes, Oscar Santana.
Mike, to clarify, the Chinese New Year 2023, this is the year of the water rabbit. I stand corrected.
What is a
water rabbit?
What is a water rabbit?
No, that can't be correct.
It says
the water rabbit.
Read the internet.
All right. Chinese calendar 2023 is the year of the rabbit. More specifically, water rabbit.
Thank you.
So I think we can accept rabbit. Or water rabbit.
Yeah, but I wanted
the
proper
nomenclature. What the hell is a water rabbit?
Well, you can find it at a wet market, I heard. I don't know. Listen, I believe.
And with all the rain we've been having, the market's been wetter than ever.
I believe that this came out of a lab. I will tell you why, Mike. Because
I don't care.
You don't care?
Because
good night.
Moving on.
No, you just said it. You just summed it up. I believe that it came out of a lab. I believe that's like me saying I believe that Aluxes are real.
This is why,
right?
Because my father, when this first happened,
yes,
in private, I'm going to out him now, as I should. He said, "This is not this scientist and in the work he's done in the past, in his professional opinion, this type of aggressive." In the wild, unseen before in biology of replication of this virus, screams like man-made.
So its characteristics seem to point
Correct.
Towards being man-made.
Correct.
As far as beliefs, I tend to believe your father.
Are you a man of science? That's why I always ask somebody. Are you a man of science?
I am. And yeah. But I want to make sure, you know, why in this country are we so eager to attack and blame? And what are we?
Well, that's what we've become, Mike. We've become a series of wins and losses. There's no gray area.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
And they want to point blame, and they want to say, I was right all along. And really, in fact, especially in a situation like this, I'm sure that the truth has some coloration. I mean, it could have been made in a lab. Sure.
But it, but
no,
it's getting
it either was or it wasn't. There's no coloration. It just fits.
No, I'm saying that if it was made in a lab, the way it was spread, there's all sorts of different things.
No, I get it. What my point is, though, I want to get a handle on. Especially where I live down here. I want to get a handle on why people were so pissed off at Dr. Fauci. Is it because he was the proponent of masks, social distancing, be careful? That has been documented to have saved lives.
Yeah, I think people were.
Why are people angry at Dr. Fauci?
He thinks that he was anti-capitalist and he was alarmist because he butted heads with Trump. I think Dr. Fauci is an American hero.
I do too,
because he was willing to stand up when everybody
didn't. But that's it. That's his crime.
Yeah.
That he disagreed with the people that didn't give a, like our governor down here. Yeah.
He wasn't okay with collateral damage.
And he's a target. Yeah. He's an easily labeled target for those who hated everything anti-Trump. You can centralize it on him because he was the guy that said wear a mask. Yeah. He was the guy that said, that did the press conferences.
Also,
he was the face of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, and also, let me be clear here. Just because these facts are coming out now, there's going to be people with dog whistles that are going to come out and create some sort of agenda. I'm being serious here. I do love that whistle.
So it's a dog whistle.
Yeah, but
I get it. You didn't have to explain that joke.
Mike, I was going to the lowest common denominator.
God. Yeah, look in the mirror.
So
hello, friends.
They're going to use this for the further acceptance of Asian hate, which is one of the byproducts of not knowing or knowing what's happening, and also,
well, let me take a pause
there, yes,
all right, because I get the whole and you're absolutely right about the Asian hate,
yeah,
but as far as the government of China specifically, this is a absolute textbook example of why societies that are not free, societies that are a totalitarian society like communist China, where information is withheld and you do not share it with the international community. This is an example of that. If you are dumb enough to think that the Chinese people are responsible for this, then you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what we're going to see, right?
It has everything to do if they knew about it. And there's that, once again, you're probably never going to have the data day-to-day. But at the end of the day, there was something out there that killed a tremendous amount of people, and they're gone. And the relatives of people that were lost during the pandemic, I don't think it's going to make them feel any better, whether it was a rat from a wet market or a bat from a wet market or from a lab. Is there accountability to be had down the road? Yeah, perhaps, but let's do an investigation. I don't know. I just feel as though Asian hate and hating Chinese people is the same as
stupid
hating Muslims after 9/11. It doesn't make sense.
Agree.
Like,
I agree.
And they do it to, the good Christian faithful of the United States, too. They do it in other countries where, death to the infidels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It all sucks. Hate for that reason. By the way, our own hate right now that I focus on is right versus left, is considering people that disagree with you politically to be less important than democracy. That's a scary world.
And again, Mike, that boils down to right versus wrong. It makes it so easy. It makes it so easy when you make it just a black and white flip of the switch decision with no. They say that one of the reasons, and I know that Jimmy Carter right now is in tremendous ill health, and we send him our best, but he was ill-regarded as a president while he was a president.
Yeah.
But I've had several political science professors say, and they seem to agree, his fault as president was that he was so smart that he couldn't make a black and white quick decision because he was so busy weighing and all the colorations. Yeah. And that's the thing. And if you think every decision that's made, be it COVID or international or anything, is just a yes or no, almost everything has something to be considered.
I like the gray. Speaking of gray.
Yeah.
That's a terrible segue. When we were talking about mothers and fathers the other day, and Oscar references dad and his mom all the time.
Yeah.
For anybody that is listening to me right now, and let me change the subject if I can.
Please.
Lighten things up a little bit. For any of you that have parents that are gone, you occasionally will share things with your own children that your mom or dad said to you. It happens all the time. They pass it down. That's why hatred can be passed down, because you see kids that learn it from their parents. But there are sayings, there are phrases, there are concepts that I think we inevitably pass along if we like them or we remember them. And my mom had a funny way of pronouncing things that my sister and I still laugh about. One of them is if you go to the the breakfast buffet, she called it a buffet, which is probably the French way to do it. It's probably buffet.
Yeah.
That's probably the correct way, but we laughed
buffet, about that. The vampire slayer.
Heidi, buffet.
But she did a lot of stuff. Now, one of the things that I remembered growing up as a child, I shared with my son on Saturday morning. I make him breakfast a lot. I cook him breakfast, and this morning it was eggs and hats and coats.
He has
a beautiful, gentle morning routine. He does not have a harsh routine. We gently wake him up, and I sometimes he piggybacks from his bedroom out to the breakfast bar where his hot breakfast is sitting there for him more often than not.
You mean you give him a piggyback ride?
Or his mom does. His mom carries him. I don't have the upper body strength that my wife has, so I give him a piggyback.
Does he ever piggyback
that is
you?
Hilarious.
Carly comes out like that, still carrying him like a baby. He's as tall as she is. I do the piggyback. Hop on my back. So
fireman's carry.
Yeah. Did it this morning. And it gets him out of bed too to say I've got
da-da-da-da. Sure.
He likes it and he goes. So the other week, Saturday morning, I think I was making him pancakes, and what did he say? Something maybe about something to do with the pancakes, and it was a criticism of some sort, and I countered with something that my mom, God rest her soul, gone these many years, but something she said to me routinely. Which was, well, I'm sorry you didn't like that little Lord Fauntleroy.
Love it.
And my mother.
So great.
My mother used to say that when anybody was being, I don't remember my sister, whether she was included in that.
Yes.
But my sister remembers hearing it from my mom.
Yeah.
Because after what happened, I called her and checked. So I say that. I said, oh, I'm sorry that syrup's not the kind you usually get, little Lord Fauntleroy. And my son looks at me. And he said, who's little Lord Fauntleroy? And I said, he was just a little prince, a young man of privilege who got everything he wanted. Now, hold on, Rob, because this is where I have to be clear.
All right.
He was a little man of privilege. And that's why, you know, I pictured the running around the palace in his little powdered wig and running around. That was little Lord Fauntleroy. And but you know what, Michael? I really don't know who little Lord Fauntleroy was. But you know what? There it is. There's that little machine in the corner of the kitchen that we use so very often, from timing a baked good in the oven to finding out what the weather's going to be. And it's called Alexa.
Of course.
And I decide, and by the way, sorry for everybody that I just turned your A word on, but I decided, let's find out who little Lord Fauntleroy was.
Yeah.
And I say, I'll play it for you. It went something like this, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Why isn't that playing?
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
I don't know any more than Mike says. I just have the same image in my head that he does.
I know. Prince Albert.
In a can?
No.
Do you have Albert in a can?
Or the piercing.
The piercing. Right.
That's horrible. What's the matter with you?
I don't have one.
Not anymore.
I'm
healed.
I'm going to tell
I just think of
what?
I'm going to tell you that I'm going to break something.
No, don't break nothing. Please.
Something.
No, don't kick.
Broken. No. Today.
No. Right. Today's a good day.
Yeah.
And also, right. be accountable.
It's the day of the water rabbit.
Yeah.
You know, I come in here, I do the work on this dog shit software that we get, that we never change, that no effort is ever made.
No, we
to
offered.
Say,
you said,
use
keep
this.
It this way. You said, keep it this way. We're
no,
good.
You didn't offer dick.
Yes, we said,
you
go get.
You did no such thing.
That is such a lie.
We God
constant
damn it.
Offers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, did you pick up the iPads today? I'm good. I'll do with what I got. And we'll wait till
Alexa,
we build the studio.
Who is Little Lord Fauntleroy?
Little Lord Fauntleroy is the nickname for an unidentified American boy found murdered in Waukesha, Wisconsin, in 1921. On March 8, 1921, the remains of a boy were found floating in a pond near the O'Loughlin Stone Company in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Authorities estimated he was between 5 and 7 years old. He had blonde hair, brown eyes, and a tooth missing from his lower jaw.
My God.
Mommy.
There has to be another derivation of it that they had to assign to the boy.
What year was this boy found?
It was 1921. Down by the river.
Listen to it again.
Alexa, who is Little Lord Fauntleroy?
Little Lord Fauntleroy is the nickname for an unidentified American boy found murdered in Waukesha, Wisconsin, in 1921. On March 8, 1921... The remains of a boy were found floating in a pond near...
That's enough of that.
Yeah, definitely. Mom, 21 falls into her purview.
But Mike...
It does fall into her purview.
Yes.
It had to have a source, and there was a novel written by Francis Hodgson Burnett in 1885 called Little Lord Fauntleroy. So,
does it explain what the novel was about?
I'm getting to the plot right now. The plot
Fauntleroy or Fauntleroy?
It is... Fauntleroy, F-A-U-N-T, well, Fauntleroy, F-O-U-N-T-L-E-R-O-Y.
All right.
I think it could go either way.
Magna cum laude.
My mom would say something similar, but it was, instead of Little Lord Fauntleroy, she goes, ¿Quién piensa que eres? So who do you think you are? El Richie Rich, which is...
Richie Rich?
Richie Rich.
I translated. My
grandmother would say to my father, who are you, Bo Brummel?
And who was Bo Brummel?
Bo Brummel was another fancy lad.
Does the book have any explanation?
Yes, he was a Little Lord Fauntleroy was a poor boy who was adopted by a rich American guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So like Annie.
Yeah, a little bit.
But without being spoiled. Because Annie was a woman of the people.
So he lived in comfort, yeah.
This is where I have a sad, where I would have thought this would have been one where I would have said, Mom, calling you today on the show because I got to ask you about something.
Oh, that stinks. I'm sorry.
So do you think that the boy that was adopted...
Yeah, ended up down by the river.
Yeah, that was it was based on this book that was actually a novel and serialized in a magazine. I think it was quite popular.
Then why was the dead child called Little Lord Fauntleroy?
Because I question sometimes what Alexa goes to first.
Maybe he wasn't thankful
for
what he wanted.
That is as American. I don't know about that. That's essentially what you just said.
Well, what I'm saying is this. Is
I
that
question
why,
if that's
I'm
real.
I'm sure that what Alexa said is true, but don't you think you would want the derivation of where the dead boy came from? You have to go back further to get the true answer.
You have a year. You have 1921.
Right.
And then, but I think there was a pause for two beats. And then my wife unhinged her jaw and started laughing her ass off. Because she's heard me say that to my daughters, too, where, hey, Little Lord Fauntleroy. And
a dead boy floating in a pond.
Yeah. That,
you know. Did your son start to cry?
Yeah. That was scary. No, my son was laughing his ass off, too.
I like that he has a sense of humor.
You know, he laughs at everything. He's got a phenomenal, like, sophisticated sense of humor. But anywho, I don't know. I don't know where it came from. And I know there are going to be people that are going to say, oh, that was blah, blah, blah. But we don't know.
No.
At least. No, and I certainly didn't know.
Who played El Richie Rich?
Well, that was Macaulay Culkin.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a cartoon first.
No, but who played him? There was a famous actor.
Wasn't that Culkin?
It was Macaulay Culkin.
Richie Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the TV show?
Well, I mean, not the cartoon.
The movie.
Yeah, there was a movie.
Okay.
And I've also
maybe
heard
I'm
a
thinking
theory.
Of Silver Spoons.
Oh, that's Ricky Schroeder.
Yes.
Or Rick Schroeder.
And Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah. I've also heard.
Silver Spoons theme song. Ding, 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 ding. No, that's not the thing.
That was Family Ties. No, that was Family Ties.
We're walking on
Silver Spoons.
About you, baby.
Yes.
Or whatever it is. Right?
By the way, was he a single dad?
What would I do without you? And it was Johnny Mathis who sang that. What
you mean on
do,
Family Ties?
Baby,
no, on Silver
you.
Spoons.
Yeah, Joel Higgins.
Was he a DILF?
Yeah, he was a DILF, but remember, Aaron Gray was like his assistant, and I think there was a
were
sexual
chemistry. Were they dating? I didn't know enough about like
I think
what
that
women and men do back then.
Developed into a date, yeah, I think so.
No, I think
was
one
nanny?
Of them was found in 1921 floating in a pond, murdered. With a missing tooth on the lower jaw.
Yeah, that's the mystery right there, is the missing tooth.
Well, do every dive you can to find out what happened. All I know is my mom had stuff like that that was just a little odd, you know? Do you know what my mom said to me when I was...
1886. I'm sorry, Mike. For cutting you off. Lord Fauntleroy is a fictional character, a young American boy who becomes an heir to the English earldom in Francis Hodgson Burnett's sentimental novel Little Lord Fauntleroy, 1886.
Really, a boy that doesn't deserve it
but
becomes royalty.
Boom.
Right.
There you go. That's my mom talking to
just
me.
Just like The Bachelor.
You know? Yeah. But I'm also now on the Wikipedia
especially
page for The Murdered Boy, and I can't seem to make the connection.
Yeah, it's from a book, Mike. Your mom was well read. But there is another
she
boy.
She read a lot.
Little Lord Fauntleroy, murder victim, 1921.
In 1949,
but we still don't know why.
This might help. In 1949, a medical examiner from Milwaukee suggested that the investigators felt, this is the murdered boy that we talked about before, felt there was a connection between the unidentified boy and Homer LeMay, a six-year-old who disappeared around the same time the child died. LeMay was said by his father, Edmund, to have died in a vehicle accident during a trip to South America when he was being cared for by family friends, but there was no existing record of his death. Now, there is a picture of him here, and he does look like a little Lord Fauntleroy type boy.
Yeah.
And like
I'm sending it to you now, Mike.
Like in a little suit and like short pants. Looks like he might have been a child of privilege.
Did you get this text, Mr. O'Mara?
Yeah.
Let me see.
This also went to your wife by accident.
God, how horrible.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Is that like a sketch of the deceased?
Yeah. I sent that to your wife by accident. You're on a group chat. My apologies.
Oh, she'll laugh.
You know, I also heard a rumor that Casper the Friendly Ghost was actually the corpse of Richie Rich. That Richie Rich, they never really covered the fact that he died, but he came back as
Casper.
Didn't
they have a pond on the property?
I believe they did, and he was missing a tooth.
Now, this is called Little Boy Fauntleroy.
I mean, we can... This is the murder.
This is so dark.
It's dark.
We've come from a dark time. I think the thing that's really sad about it is, to me, the thought that they call him Little Lord Fauntleroy is like almost
Fauntleroy. It's not Fauntleroy. Take your learning disability
like Helvetica
and change it to Fauntleroy.
Mike, my apologies.
Thank
I know
you.
You're invested in this.
I am
and
invested in
this. And it's a respect for the past.
And you looked at it, and then I looked at it. It's spelled Fauntleroy.
Okay. Fauntleroy.
And it's not Fauntle, it's Fauntleroy.
It seems like it might be like a disgusting nickname that they give to a murder victim like they discuss in Silence of the Lambs.
Ooh.
You know, like he
what do they call him in Silence?
Well, Silence of the Lambs, they called him Buffalo Bill because he skinned them before they humped.
Yeah, but that was the murderer, not the murderer.
But still, there's that dark sense of humor among law enforcement.
And right now would have been a perfect time for the tape you sent me.
Oh, that's true.
But I don't have it.
Well, tomorrow we'll have it.
Tomorrow.
Because I was too busy
you know, I'm not going to play that clip for me again. That's when it gets dark, when I play it a third time. I'm not going to do it.
No.
Would you like to hear about the O'Mara's trip?
Yes,
I would. Again. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
So our wonderful babysitter, Carmen, comes every Saturday and picks my son up or visits with my son and babysits. And they either do something fun and Mrs. O'Mara and I have our me time. Where, our we time, I should say.
Wee!
And Carla forever has been urging me to go bowling. And I can't go bowling with you, Ralphie boy.
Oh, the great Gilbert Gottfried.
I will tell you this, that I remember that back in the time that we were working in New York and in Virginia, we decided we needed to do something to bump up the interest. Duh. And we decided to go bowling and have a bowling league. And
Mike, we had we had bowling equipment in New York and Washington, D.C. We were totally
they were real
invested.
Bowlers.
We were invested.
Really moved the meter, didn't it?
It really did.
Well, I married you with everyman. I'm sure the program director told you that.
I believe it was mentioned.
No, it wasn't the PD.
But the everyman part was mentioned.
Yeah.
It is so jive contrived. It's that you're so, like, we're going to be bowling, guys.
Hey, how you doing? We're going to come out of here. But anyway, but
and
it was
also
fun,
it was
right?
Come watch us bowl. That was the greatest.
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing? We're bowling.
We'll be at the Queens Alleys.
We'll be in Annandale.
So, you know, it's funny. Sometimes I surprise myself by reflecting on my career sometimes and just go, oh, God. I mean, we gave it the old college try. We really did.
We all bought balls and shoes, and we had shirts. Beautiful.
We got them for free because it was, the radio station was popular in Washington. We were able to get stuff. And so I bowled a lot and had a couple of good games. I had, in particular, some very, very decent games bowling. And Carla, it had been years and years and years and years and years. So Carla said, let's go bowling. And we reserved a lane at about 6:15 Saturday night to head out and go to, what's it called? Headpins.
Mm. Okay, that sounds to me like it's one of those boutique,
like
fancy,
classy, fun,
hippie, with fancy food. And it's not like a bowling alley should, even though they don't allow smoking anymore, a bowling alley should smell of cigarette smoke. From years ago when you go into this smell of cigarettes?
I think Carla would back you up on that. I think Carla would agree because you want the traditional. I had one in my town, which was the little balls that we used.
Duck pins. Yeah.
We used I will say that Rob's right. This is, even though it's a chain, this has an arcade in it. I've taken my kid to birthday parties there.
Yeah.
It's got, and the thing is, we get in there while it's still daylight and the place is all dark. And they got strobe lights going and stuff like that. And you can't even see the lanes. And I didn't care for that. And neither did my bride. I understand you're trying to hip it up when you're charging your, $70 for 2 hours.
Bowling is very popular among the college set right now. Robert got a ball for Christmas, and he's actually bowling up there. He likes to bowl with his friends when he comes down here. But here's something you need to be aware of, Mike. When you go to those hipster bowling joints, a lot of times their lanes are too short to be regulation because they want to fit them into a facility that's not designed to be a bowling alley. And when I was talking to the gentleman who drilled my bowling ball, he said, you shouldn't go to Bolero in Leesburg. Their lanes are too short.
Bolero's very popular across the country.
Yeah, but he said that the Bolero in Leesburg, the lanes are too short.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you do? You pace it off or something, or do you ask?
He knows because he's got all of his 300 games framed and mounted in his bowling shop.
Did he say how long a lane is supposed to be?
No, he did not. But he said that that I should go to what used to be Village Lanes. It's got a new name now.
I have to say this.
Yes.
That I fancied myself an adequate bowler based on our time.
Yeah.
And I don't know where my bowling balls have gone, but they're gone.
Carrie sold them.
Or they're in they're
just
in
like
storage.
She does everything.
They're gone, long gone.
Sold two of mine.
The regular ones. The problem is,
oh, horrible.
I got me, not an overly large hand, but a regular guy's hand.
Yeah.
And I, as aforementioned, the weak arms. So in order for me to get the finger holes that I need, I have to use the extra large weighted ball. And that's just a little too heavy for me.
You got a bad back. Jesus Christ.
Did you my back?
Yeah.
Did you note the weight of the ball? Because it always has the weight on it.
I don't. It was probably 14 pounds.
Okay. Mike, a bowling lane, a regulation bowling lane, is 60 feet from the foul line to the center of the head pin.
Got it. All right.
60 feet. Yeah.
I will make this brief. Carla kicked my ass.
Okay.
Why? Technique, we played, skill, strength?
How heavy was her ball?
She loves bowling.
Yeah.
She bowled when she was a young girl. She remembers her grandmother and her mother smoking tons of cigarettes, and probably Carla was too. I believe Carla was allowed to smoke cigarettes when she was 7. So anyway,
well, that's how she got into the gang, wasn't it? The Pink Ladies?
Nope. Just a family deal.
Oh, a family thing. How nice.
Thank you for asking, though. So every game, I thought it was like 94-94. She won like 97-94. That's how bad we were bowling. Neither one of us passed 100.
Any strikes?
I had a spare or two in the opening frame.
And that sounds, but if you kept it under 100, you didn't count on them at all, did you?
We played four games or a fourth partial game. I had 2 strikes in the entire evening.
Wow.
It was horrible. And by the way, it was family time. And I can be a curmudgeon even in an environment that I'm not totally familiar with. And it had been a long time. And, you know, the days of relying on responsible effing parenting where I've got the butterfly net crew in the lane to my right where unsupervised small children are flitting about with the strobe light and the multicolored ball that's moving around.
The disco ball,
it sucked.
Did they have the rails up?
It wasn't a disco ball. It was a black ball with different round lights spinning back and forth.
Yeah, that's. Did they have the rails up to prevent gutter balls?
They had them for the family to my right.
Yeah. But not for you?
No.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to try to do it the real way.
All right.
But it was, it was 97-94 was the closest that I got to Carla. And then in the next 2 games, she also kicked my ass. And then I was leading in the last game. She says I wasn't, but then I know I was, and our time expired. And Carla was like screaming, "Time's up!" I said, "Well, wait, we can finish the game." "Nope, time's up." Because I know that's why you did that, Carla, because you wanted to make sure you shut me out.
She likes to follow the rules.
Time's up!
Time's up. There are other people. I don't care! I don't care about others! I don't give a damn about others.
Look at this family of 8 waiting to bowl.
That's right.
2 things happened with that, all right? I was wearing my Hey Dudes, my Florida shoes.
Right.
You know, we don't stand on socks down here very often.
Oh,
so
no.
I rolled into the alley and I had to buy a $4.95 pair of socks.
Oh.
But now you have those to keep, Mike.
Because they have little bowling pins on them. They do. They have little bowling pins on them.
Will you wear those to the show in New Orleans?
Yeah, I'll put them on.
I'd like that.
And the rental shoes I got were a size 12. A size 12 for Krusty the Clown.
Oh,
because
big.
These were flopping around on my feet. It was very,
very
difficult.
Were they lace up or Velcro? They rent them both.
All I know is that by the end of the evening, I had the flop sweats like you would not believe. And I'm sitting there bowling, sweating. Carla's laughing at me. She goes, "Oh, you lost." She comes up with a tissue and she goes, "Oh, you lost another game." Mopping my brow. I'm like, get away from me.
It's worth thousands cheer. Mike, did you have any food, any beer? How was the snack scene?
No, because I'm on this thing. And the bowling alley food wouldn't do that.
Didn't Carla get the huge brownie like she did at Jimmy's?
Oh my God, Jimmy. What a great dessert.
Yes.
It was I didn't know they sold that at Costco.
Oh, after you came, it was North Dakota on a plate.
It was incredible. She scarfed it too and then got on the plane. He's like, McDonald's. Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you expect? You ate a Buick.
Yeah. I still have a scar where I tried to grab some of it.
It was so good. Looked so good. Didn't have a bite. Didn't even have a taste.
Attaboy. Self-control.
What came out of this and more to come, we are going to join a league.
No. Are you really?
Yeah, we're going to join a league.
God. You need another couple then. You need another couple then.
We are. We've got a couple in mind down here. It's a couple that we swing with. So it'll be it'll be bowling in the evening and then
I was hoping you'd do
sex with a stranger at night.
The Wednesday morning league with all the other ladies.
and cigarettes. Not anymore. Oh, sunnier days when everybody could smoke. You know what I'm saying? Hey, good spare. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Neos right after this, everybody.
Picture yourself on a journey. You're traveling through a dimension not of sight, but only of sound.
Oh, my gosh.
A journey into a wondrous place. Where what you'll hear is a collection of the surreal.
We've seen some crazy things out here.
The fantastic and the comical.
Daryl!
I am tired. I feel...
Oh, we heard you. Go ahead.
Born again.
Go ahead. I heard you. Go ahead.
Don't! There is a deer in here.
I said supervisor!
Like that.
That's the signpost up ahead. Next stop, Soundtown.
Welcome to Soundtown.
Sounds meticulously procured by Rob Spina.
Yes.
Listen for a laugh today, only on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What?
What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I didn't think so. But at Chime, that's exactly what they do with their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. You can start to build credit with your own money. Chime reports your payments to credit bureaus to help you build credit over time. Their members see an average increase of 30 points, plus no annual fees, no large security deposits, or any credit checks to apply. Start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes. And doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/TMOS. That's chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Bureau, a Visa Credit Builder. Let me start again. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact score may vary, and some users' scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply, except at MoneyPass ATMs at a 7-Eleven or at any All-Pointer Visa Plus Alliance ATMs. Thank you. I got it all in there. Now play
Beautiful.
The thing for me, please. Appreciate it.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and we begin today with a very interesting story regarding Kiss. I know we have a lot of Kiss fans in our listening audience.
We have one very key Kiss fan.
Oh! Yeah. Thanks for spotlighting old... Hey, he's on another vacation, I think.
Yeah, he's on the Love Boat.
No, good for him.
Yeah.
Kiss announced the final dates for their End of the Road tour. The last leg kicks off in October in Texas and ends with back-to-back shows at The Garden, Madison Square in New York City on December 1st and 2nd. They know how to, you know, they know how to put those dates in place perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
The band says, quote, Kiss was born in New York City on 23rd Street half a century ago. It'll be a privilege and an honor to finish touring at Madison Square Garden. 10 blocks and 50 years from where we first started. Is this the actual end of Kiss? Probably not. They've said they'd be willing to do one-off shows, festivals, or even a Las Vegas residency in the future. Down, 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 and you can put them in any crazy pose you like.
From Miko.
supposedly this is the last official tour. So stay tuned for that.
You know, I'm no great Kiss fan, but one of the best concerts I ever went to my life, Kiss was great. Still in makeup.
When I was younger, I had friends that they would, it was a pilgrimage to Jersey all the time to do this.
They spit blood, there was fire, Gene Simmons went in the air, and this is back a long time ago. They were only like in their 60s, and it was a good show.
About 30 years ago.
Exactly.
All right, here's, here's the thing, thank you. Here's every 12-year-old's least favorite story of the week. TikTok, you knew about this yesterday. They announced that they will start limiting kids to 1 hour of viewing per day. They're rolling it out over the next few weeks, so anyone under 18 can't mindlessly scroll through videos for more than 60 minutes anymore. After the first hour, kids 12 and under won't be able to keep using it unless a parent or guardian punches in a code to extend viewing by 30 or more minutes. My question is, once you use that code, do you have to go back and do it again? That's what I want to know. Because my son was playing a tournament last night, and yes. I had to put a code in to let him play.
For a different platform or the same one?
No, not for TikTok. For a game he was playing online.
Oh, so. Interesting.
Kids, what are you playing?
This is TikTok music.
Kids 13 and up can enter their own code, but they still get the alerts, so they'll have to actively choose to keep scrolling. Isn't it the honor system, though? Kind of, isn't that?
I mean,
way
this
works?
Is a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
This is a response to the Canadian government and the U.S. government giving everybody 30 days to remove TikTok from government employees and government agencies.
Well, it's a Chinese company. They're worried about espionage.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Using it to spy, steal our info. Congress passed a law in December to ban the app on government-issued phones. This week, the White House gave all government agencies 30 days to comply.
This is a good moment to, just in case they shutter this platform, big social media. Because you want to compete, right?
Yeah,
you
of course.
Compete? Zuckerberg's probably like adding pressure.
Yeah,
and then he's like, "They're evil."
Yeah,
you know, and you've got Google saying, "Don't do it." Like,
right.
So, if this thing goes away, we do have a wonderful Instagram, people. This
we
is
do.
To our listeners. Mm-hmm. If you're not on Instagram or you're not following us on Instagram, do so now. All of those wonderful reels are right there as well.
Yes.
By the way, I should update all of our listeners and let you all know that our new press secretary, who made a statement regarding Rob's Flips Beeweck's problem,
yes.
I will say that that garnered us a significant amount of traffic, and we thank you. The magic of Oscar Santana prevailed. And we're getting lots of buzz about the show, so I thank you, Mr. Sam.
There was also a significant amount of traffic on the toll road.
Yes, there was.
You made WTOP, by the way.
I know.
I saw the article.
Carrie told me.
Oh, save that. I want to hear
all
about that.
You mean they actually
that.
Wrote it up?
They wrote about
it. Oh, Carrie just called it and listened on the 8th.
Oh, no.
I didn't know there was
it's
actually
on the website.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Very exciting.
Way
Justin,
to go, Rob. Neil Augenstein.
Justin Bieber seems to have canceled the entirety of his Justice World tour. This includes Europe, Australia, and even dates in the U.S. that were previously postponed to 2024. As of yesterday, there hasn't been an explanation from Justin or his reps. His website is completely wiped of the tour dates. And if you check out Ticketmaster, all dates say canceled.
Mike, I applaud you for all these years staying with every Justin Bieber story.
Thank you. Last year when he postponed his tour dates, he said it was because he needed to rest and make his health a priority. But at that time, he was recovering from Ramsay Hunt syndrome, which had paralyzed half his face.
Yeah.
Mm.
I had that syndrome, but it was a slightly different kind. It was Michael's.
Oh.
It was Michael Hunt.
Oh, okay. It paralyzed half of something?
There you go. Sorry. Once a child, always.
I know, and here I am to play along.
You know, the grass at the past Super Bowl was slippery. There was a lot of talk from the commentary on the falling that was going. Well, here's why. George Toma is a grisly old groundskeeper who has either prepared or advised every single Super Bowl field.
Wow.
They call him the sod father. And he knows what happens. This is what George says, old man George.
Yeah.
He's like 90 or something. He says, they watered the hell out of the grass on Wednesday, then rolled it onto the stadium and covered it with a tarp. But what they should have done was let it dry out in the sun first. In addition to being slippery, it also started to rot and emit a foul odor. They also didn't sand the grass enough, and they sanded it too late. George blames the NFL field director, Ed Mangan, who used to work under him. He says, quote, he didn't take care of it. He wouldn't listen to anybody. This guy's bitter.
He is.
He's 94 years old. And he says, by the way, he's had enough. This was his last Super Bowl.
Mm.
Might be his his last cereal.
I think he's been saying that for a while. Mike, I actually have tape of the greenskeeper, if you want to hear what he sounds like.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I jump ship in Hong Kong, and I make my way over to Tibet, and I get on as a looper at a course over there in Himalayas.
A looper?
A looper. You know, a caddy, a looper. Jack. So I tell him I'm a pro, Jack. And who do you think they give me? The Dalai Lama.
There we go.
There you go.
George is 94, and
His quote here is, "I can't take it anymore. Me and the league are finished." This guy's bitter. Mm.
Yeah.
"They can't tell me what to do anymore. We're done."
And when he says, "Stay off my lawn," he means it.
"Get should, off of my lawn."
What's also fascinating, and you probably know this, Mike and Rob,
yeah,
that field was, it's one of the a handful of fields that retracts out into nature and then pulls right back in on railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. It's great.
And they just screwed it up.
Yeah.
You know, they have all that technology and they messed it up because the guy that used to work for the old guy was a headstrong. A couple of people said he wouldn't listen to what they were suggesting.
Yeah.
So when they were calling the game, I believe they were talking about where the field had been painted.
I thought it was the painted stuff as well.
It did not have anything.
It was just
to do with
wet.
It. I just flew recently and a former flight attendant says airplane bathrooms are even grosser than people think. And she offers three main tips to keep yourself safe while flying. Number one, touch as few surfaces as possible. This starts with opening the door. If it's the accordion type that folds in, push it open with your foot. I guess that's the bathroom door.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have to touch the sink handles or toilet seat, use a paper towel or toilet paper as a barrier. You know, don't they talk about cleaning and sanitizing these planes? I guess they don't do it.
Well, they did when COVID was a problem, but haven't you heard, Mike? It's gone.
Keep your shoes on, it says. If you took them off to get comfortable, put them back on before you go to the bathroom. I'd like to see the people that take their shoes off get sick anyway.
Yeah.
There might be water on the floor or worse.
Oh.
Urine. A lot of guys aren't very good at aiming, especially where there's turbulence. Thank you, flight attendant. Don't brush your teeth in an airplane bathroom. The water isn't filtered and the tank it's in doesn't get cleaned enough. They just top it off between flights, and they're only required to flush and disinfect it every 3 months.
What?
Ew!
Have you ever been tempted to brush your teeth in an airplane bathroom?
They do it all the time.
You know, with all the years I've flown, probably.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I've done it.
Right.
Mm. You just walk back there and then, no?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Mm. There's often E. coli in the water and other bacteria.
Oh, great.
So if you want to brush your teeth, wait to use an airport sink or use bottled water to wet the breath.
I don't need to brush my teeth in Fart City. You go, you walk off any plane.
Oh, I know.
And you walk into any restroom, and it's an orchestra of farts.
The first men's room to the right of any gate.
Yeah, forget that.
It is
that,
like going into a crisis
pro tip,
mode.
Go to baggage claim.
Yeah.
And outgoing, the first restroom that is through security.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, Mike, a lot of people grab some, especially
way.
In the morning, a lot of people grab breakfast right before they go to the airport.
Yeah. What time's your flight? I got to hop on in 10 minutes. We're boarding.
Oh, my God. Mike, if you haven't seen Poker Face on Peacock yet,
yes.
Rob's been talking about it forever.
It's a great show.
There's a great scene of a lady trucker farting in front of the main character in the bathroom.
And I remember that. I saw that.
And she looks over and she's like, "What? This is what we do here."
I got one problem with that show.
What's that?
The lady creeps me.
Really?
The lady creeps me.
The main character?
She creeps
me.
Oh,
she's so great.
She is great.
I know, but she's odd. She's very odd.
She's not usual.
She's not usual. I like a TV character usual. And now a little something something. Peruvian police took a man. This is why I asked you whether you wanted to travel
in your
home country, Oscar. Peruvian police took a man into custody over the weekend who was carrying around a mummy up to 800 years old in a food delivery bag. The man identified as 26-year-old Julio Cesar Bermejo named the mummy Juanita and referred to the ancient remains as his spiritual girlfriend. At home, here's his quote, excuse me, "At home, she's in my room, sleeps with me, I take care of her." That's what he said to a local media outlet. Unclear if Bermejo was aware that the mummy was actually a man who lived 600 to 800 years ago in the southern region of Puno, according to Peru's Ministry of Culture. The country is home to numerous archaeological sites, most notably Machu Picchu
Peru's Ministry of Culture took custody of the mummy over the weekend to protect and preserve the heritage. And, of course, to make sure none of the holes has been visited.
Oh.
If you know what I mean.
God.
Check the holes, babe. Check the holes.
Unwrap it and check them.
He is my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
I cannot wear shoes. They make me fall down. We have to take a break. We will come back with more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
Are you looking to laugh more and weigh less? Discover the power of the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Hello, close personal friends.
If we want to get skinnier,
get on a treadmill.
Dear Diary, Oscar was especially jerky today.
I had a doctor's appointment. These things happen.
Every mother... and their auntie wants to grab this medicine.
Why, Dean? We're here to inspire and educate our students.
I'm majoring in medieval art. It's a two-year program.
I want to show that I care about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The TMOS Bonus Show provides gut-busting laughs on a weekly basis. Talk to your doctor today about a plan that works for you and about subscribing. Get more info at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Screw your miracles.
This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life. It's 2023. Are you still using the same belt from 2003? Now is the time to update your belt game. The Groove Life belt. I'm going to share it with you right now. I'm going to slide it right out of my pants.
Pants.
And I'm going to share with you my new one that just came in the mail.
Oh, beautiful.
There it is. How about you pull it out of here? Thank you. All right. Here's my Groove Life belt. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me hold it up. Look at that.
Yeah, oh, with the New York Giants logo on it. Very
cool. Got a New York Giants logo. I got that one.
Mike, I've got the carbon fiber guy. I think that's
there
what
it
do you
is.
Have, Rob?
I think the same.
The same carbon fiber
we
guy?
We love them. We're not wearing these for the advertiser. We are wearing these because we love them.
You got to the flat
people,
black.
Yeah. By the way, the people at our advertising agency that we do a lot of work with who are going to speak to the people at Groove Life, will you please tell them? This is a new Harry's for us. This is a new product that we are all in love with. Let me show you what else I got. I got a wallet.
Look at you.
That's metal, too. Yep. I love this. It is a fantastic product. We all love it. All right.
Survived a rollover car accident.
Yes.
It did.
It does.
It did. They're engineered with just the right amount of stretch. They are. I love them for golf. Mm-hmm. I mean, love, love, love. They will be my new belt for golf. And the world's baddest buckle snaps using rare earth neodymium.
Perfect.
They're magnets set in an aluminum alloy. And with Groove Life's 94-year BS warranty, the Groove Belt is the last belt you're ever going to need. And it ain't just belts, wallets, rings, watch bands, AirPod cases, and more. It's time to bring your belt into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS and use our promo code to get, it's TMOS, 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use my code TMOS for 20% off your order. One last time, that's promo code TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button for Groove Life on our website, and we thank you. Okay, yesterday we were talking about the accident.
Yes.
And, Rob, I got the distinct impression that your new nickname that the listeners really, really want to give you was not that well received from you. The new nickname, of course, based on your car accident.
Yes.
Flip Spiewak.
With two P's.
with two P's.
Two P's, right. Flip Spiewak with two P's. Yes.
You know what? I think yesterday it might have been a little too fresh for me. I'm okay with Flip. I like Flip. I think Flip is nice.
I think Flip, you've earned it.
I have
earned it. Not many people flip a car and live to tell about it.
Especially when Oscar was discussing the low center of gravity in the Forester. Yeah. I used some magic. I used some Magic the Gathering crap yesterday with
that. Monday. I was telling Rob
Tuesday.
Yesterday after the show, I said, the type of accident you had is one in a million with that type of vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of the accidents I would watch as a kid in Police Academy. Where the cadet would get in the car and all of a sudden just flip it in the parking lot for no reason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yes.
And, how goes your journey with with everything and getting the car replaced?
So far, insurance forms have been filed, waiting to hear back from them. Still haven't heard from the police, from the Dulles Airport Police Force. Obviously, I will be cited for something because those things don't just happen. But have not heard
kind
from them
difficult
yet.
Difficult to zero in on on what?
Well, they got me on expired stickers is how they're going to process it. No, not
you're going
really.
To jail.
But the
Tony just texted me the modern day poster of Flipper.
Yeah.
Which was
look at it now.
Yeah.
But I Flipper would be really Flipper Spiewak.
Well, that's
our new official for the PGA Tour is Flipper Spiewak.
That doesn't indicate what we went through.
So you're going to be able to you're going to be able to get your car replaced and all
yeah,
that,
I think or? I'm going to get the same car actually. I've been looking online at the web at the same dealership that I bought this.
Is that what the insurance company told you?
No, I'm waiting to hear back from the
insurance
company.
Oh, you're waiting to hear back.
Yeah, we filed everything and we're waiting. It's, the ball's in their court, State Farm. But,
so this will be because I want to stay with this because I want to see what that's like when you do total a car and how it goes. And, you know, you got a regular insurance company and I'm curious to see your experience. And I hope it's positive.
Me
but
too.
If it's not, I want the world to know right here. Exactly
everything,
what's
I mean,
going on.
Everything about a car wreck sucks. I mean, it really, really does. And I can't imagine it being delightful in any way, this process about, you know, having the insurance. They're going to probably drag their feet because they're going to have to write a very big check. So we'll just have to stay on them and see what happens.
This is years ago when my brother lived, my brother-in-law and sister lived in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in business school, Mike, and you know how, like, when you're still, you're the youngest of the family, you kind of just lean and stay back. Stay back. I don't get involved. Get one of his plastic surgeon friends come over, and they were talking about a total loss of a car. And he said that, so I come to find out that it was a Ferrari that was wrecked.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's a lot like the Subaru Forester.
And
very similar.
Very similar build.
I just remember him saying, yeah. The guy was so great, the insurance adjuster. Like, we were right on the precipice, like, just like on the line of making a total loss or something they could fix. And he goes, it's a shame this car that's beautiful is, like, you know, so close to not being a total loss. And he said, the guy looked at him and was like, it's a total loss, and then moved on.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, because he was such a car aficionado, the gentleman who was looking at
was appraising it.
Was adjusting it. He goes, it's a total
loss. So they got it.
Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
That's you know what? That is a classic story of the rich get richer.
It really is. Yeah.
There you go. Probably totally fixable, but no. Yeah. Give the $300K to Richie McRich again and let
meanwhile,
him replace
Mike,
his car. Let him get a beige one now.
Meanwhile, Mike, beige fast forward Ferrari. A week and a half, you're going to see me trying to replace my own airbags. I'll be tucking them back in. if you fold it this way, it'll work. It'll work.
Since I know this is probably top of mind for you in your out-of-studio life, is there any will... The police determination of the circumstances have any bearing whatsoever on your insurance claim?
I don't think so. I think that it is because I'm point free on my license.
Yes, nice.
And so, I mean, I'm
strong start.
As far as everything goes, I'm in their eyes a good driver. And they're according to them, you know, I had a scrape down the parking lot, but that's you know. Inconsequential to something like this. I think ultimately my rates could go up in the next cycle.
Yeah.
And that's to be expected. But as far as getting it done, no, I think we're okay right now. That's the impression that I get. So,
what do you pay a month now for your
great question.
The insurance is quarterly, I believe.
Okay.
And you can pay quarterly, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, because we've got all four cars
that's gotta be
on the same thing, and I think quarterly, for some reason, I'm thinking it's around $3,000. Does that sound about right? I think that's about right, because it's my car, Carrie's car, and both kids'
cars. I pay $224 for the Volvo monthly,
so that would be quarterly, that would be $700.
Yeah, so and four times
yeah, I think it's between 25 and
close.
Three I
it's
think
close.
Yeah,
I pay for my car and Carla's car $1 million.
That also sounds fair.
That's funny.
$1 million.
Millions.
Tomorrow or maybe next week, we can talk about long distance car shopping, which I'm about over. I'm not going to do it anymore.
If we go into the dealership together and buy two, we could probably get a deal.
Oh my God.
Do you know, after your whole story yesterday and having the product and discussing that, I have been I was looking at Subarus today.
I love it.
I'm done with the with the Richie Rich cars.
You also got a wonderful ride in it. It rides so much better before you flip it. It really does.
Yeah, when you flip it, it just slides. We'll take a break.
Sparks.
And we will come up with makeup tips for everybody right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra. Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories. Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
You know, Mike, I don't often select the rejoinder music for myself, but this is Roll Over Beethoven.
Roll Over Beethoven, that I bought a day.
Hey, here's a question.
Yeah.
Why do razors cost so much? Mm.
They don't need to.
What?
Harry's razors are incredibly sharp and made in their own factory in Germany. Most importantly, they cost as little as $2 per blade. You can get a quality razor that you can depend on delivered straight to your door from Harry's. We all use Harry's because we all love Harry's. The best products at the best prices. And the packaging is absolutely amazing, too. The good companies package things well.
They do.
That's what I've learned over the years. Right now, the Truman Shave Trial Set, a $15 value, is just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. It includes a 5-blade German-engineered razor-weighted handle foaming shave gel and a travel cover. Plus, you can schedule replacement blade delivery whenever you need them with refills as low as $2 each. Harry's has dozens of affordable items to go along with your subscription, like shaving creams, post-shave balm, body washes, hydrating lotions, and more. And Harry's is still offering a no-risk trial. Don't like your shave? No worries on them. Don't get overcharged for razors, my friend. Get Harry's a $15 Truman Shave Trial Set, $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS for a $3 trial set. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Oscar and I were talking before the show about makeup, and we didn't really get into it because I thought we should talk about it on the show, that I wonder, too. And we all, depending on how, I don't know how you feel, Oscar, but depending on how my wife prepares herself for the day is how I wonder. Sometimes Carla can, she always looks good, but sometimes she can look so good that I just have that pause.
Yeah,
sure.
Not succumbing totally to jealousy, but know that she's going out and about. Oh, and by the way, I shared on my website that Carla is doing the Brazilian waxing, and it was the pervert no pest strip that, and Steve Kelsey, if I ever have to read about your taint again, I'm coming to see you. I'm going to come and visit. Yeah, it was disgusting.
Well,
Rob,
you know what?
It was disgusting.
I did expect this segment to go there that fast.
Well, I just wanted to mention that. But we're getting back to makeup. Oscar said something that was interesting to me. He talked about when Shannon puts on makeup, it goes one of two ways? Is that what you were saying?
This is going to sound crazy. I know it's hard for women out there to get ready compared to men.
Yes, especially Steve's taint.
We can get up. We jump in the shower.
I didn't need that. You're right. You're in the club. You should be on that thread.
Yeah. I did.
He's got the exact same.
Yeah.
Guys that probably didn't chase enough in their formative years.
They're excited to say things. They don't know.
I only bring it up because of the
call Dirk.
No, thank you.
Right.
Go ahead. Oscar.
It takes longer for women to get ready.
Yes.
Because guys, we have it easy. We don't have societal norms and quote unquote rules.
Yeah, there's mascara, lipstick, surgeries.
Right. there are days where my wife is ready to go before work and she's got her makeup on. And then there are days where she comes in and then she does her makeup at her desk.
Yes, I've seen this.
How do you always manage to leave the house later?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go.
I had to.
What are you gesturing with? Like,
you have a handkerchief?
This is my screen cleaner.
You look like Pavarotti.
Then how come you're always late? You?
The days where she...
Oh, you.
She's ready to rock and roll and she's not doing makeup at her desk.
Right.
Are days that I judge her. I'm like, okay, today is going to be a good day. The day she comes in and she's doing makeup at her desk.
Yeah.
I'm like, got to watch her like a hawk.
Because you think that
didn't start the day right.
If she had started the day right, there would have been time for her to get the makeup, everything done at work.
Yes. Well, no. She would have done
at
the
home,
makeup
I mean,
at home.
At home.
And there's no, you know, whatever process it takes to get done at the office. And is that chauvinistic? No. This is my wife. I know, like, I can probably, if I was keeping track on a Google Sheet or Excel spreadsheet, good days, bad days.
She's doing the makeup at the desk. You think it's going to be a rough day?
It's going to be a day that I have to micromanage her.
And she's behind the, she's back. At least she cares enough
it's,
to,
it's
you
like,
know,
it's like
to,
a medical office. If your first appointment's late, everything's going to be late. Like what
I
got
would
bumped?
Venture to say that Mrs. Zaballos is someone that probably does not need a tremendous amount of enhancement to look her best.
She tends to look stunning. Yeah.
Minutes make the hours.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
If you lose 30 doing makeup at work.
Oh, I see.
He's talking about work.
Where's
the
productivity?
I was talking about beauty.
What got bumped? Yeah. What was missed? And it was an email missed. So was something else missed?
By the way, would the people that are responsible for putting up our stuff like to apologize publicly?
Oh, they're not.
The mistake yesterday? Can they?
I don't think they want to.
No, I'll take it. I apologize that we had a slight hiccup with one of the social media posts yesterday that the thumbnail image was blank. And I know we still got views on it because you guys are great, but it was.
You don't have to apologize for that. They don't care.
Well, I would like to apologize.
You don't have to apologize to the audience. You apologize to us for not caring enough to get it right the first time.
I would like to apologize to Mike and Oscar not caring enough to get it right the first time.
Thank you.
Well, you don't do it, right? Doesn't your brother do it?
He does, but I quality check it.
That's the rub.
So it's really you. It's on you. Well, Pony, what happened with you?
You know what? Again, that was also on me as well. And I apologize to you guys.
Thank you.
I was working too quickly. And
so
I
when
made
you
a mistake.
Get done putting it up there and it's a blank screen, what are you, not looking at it?
Well, on Facebook, technically it's not a blank screen. It doesn't appear for like another minute or two. But I should have refreshed and checked back.
You're supposed to wait and see if it's there.
Yeah, I should have checked back to make sure the thumbnail looked good.
It's across all platforms, not just Facebook.
All right. Well, now I'm glad that added a little clarity. You're off the hook. Okay, go ahead.
So Mike caught me saying that out loud before the show. It wasn't meant for the public. Everyone's going to think I'm a monster here. I was just saying, today is going to be a day I got a micromanager. She didn't have makeup on. That's what I said off air.
I fight a totally different battle because my wife, as you know, is now taken to, by the way, for the perv patrol, women only, guys, sorry, no discrimination here, but women only for that type of activity that I was talking about, all right? So knock it off right now. But my wife goes out into the workforce and I don't see her for many work days where she'll come, she'll be out of the house early and she'll come home in the afternoon. And so when she is super, made up,
put together,
and put together. That's exactly right. I fight the green-eyed monster.
Sure.
Like, for example, Thursday morning, early morning, her networking group, business people, men and women.
We've actually noticed on our end and talked, behind the scenes that when you're jealous of, and you weren't jealous about your wife going to a network meeting. You were jealous that she looked so great going right. to a networking meeting.
Yes.
Yes.
And to add to that, Thursday morning is your hungry morning.
Yes.
So
yes.
everything is
yeah,
coming
your
together.
Medicine's wearing
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I came by and I, there was yeah. some little of my kids' tough. Eggs, hat, and coats. And I took yeah. a bite. So what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go see those men that love you.
Did yeah. you say, what are you doing with a bit of yolk dripping off your lip?
She said, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. But anyway, that's what I thought.
We had two different worlds.
The yeah.
I just,
yeah, two
I just,
worlds.
I'm looking at sheer output, the quality right. of output.
Yeah, and I've got a third world, too. I said, like, God, is she ever going to get up today?
Thank you. A nice little bow. That is called the perfect Mike O'Mara show break. Yeah. Right there, Rob put a big, fat strawberry on top.
Yeah. She got that's up today, wonderful. Though. Bless her heart.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's wonderful.
That is good stuff, Mike. Yes. Give her a gesture with your screen cleaner.
All right. Wake up, Carrie! Take a break. Be right back with Soundtown.
It may be cold outside, but the specials are on fire.
En fuego.
At Trader Mike's Discount Shack.
Trader Mike is moving only a few feet to a new location.
It's the Sistine Chapel on a floor
that you can eat.
And he's willing to do what it takes to make a deal.
Check out these deals.
I have acquired, over my lifetime, way too many golf clubs.
Here. A lot of them are broken.
I do have a shop vac. I have a squeegee, and I have a light bulb changer.
Trader Mike is stacking the specials high and letting them fly.
He's stacking them deep and selling them cheap.
But that's not all. You can find more great deals through Target and Walmart when you click on the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Treat yourself.
Hurry, folks, because these deals are crazy.
Trust me.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. If you're looking to get your financial future organized, if you don't have life insurance yet, that should be at the top of your list. Fabric by Gerber Life is what you need with life insurance and other family financial solutions all in one place. Fabric has great policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. Fabric was specifically designed to give parents like you affordable term life insurance. Plus, Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high-quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You can be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS, M-E-E-T, fabric.com/TMOS. Here comes the disclaimer. Listen up carefully, please.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, process subject to underwriting and health questions.
Oh, hit the thing. All right. There is it. There it is.
Let me do it again.
Sound Town. We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Mike, before we get into Sound Town, Oscar would like to say,
happy birthday, Charlie Burney.
Happy birthday, Charlie.
Oh, where is he? Oh, get him something nice.
He's at
home
today, but yes.
Oh, wonderful. Hey, happy birthday. Speaking of Sound Town. Listen, I pick up on when listeners are into something. Is there a chance? And I am going to put this completely on you.
All right.
And if you're not okay with it, it doesn't matter. Is there a chance that we could change Soundtown to the flip side?
There is. But the thing is that give me a weekend to work on the element because I want to make sure.
Cool. I don't care when you deliver it.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
100%.
We just
have
the flip side.
The flip side.
Well, no.
Even if you're not called Flip, calling Soundtown the
flip side.
Side.
I'm 100%
okay
with it.
Inside joke for people to love the show.
Dude to do it.
No, because you know what? The Soundtown.
He does it. He does all the elements.
I like the Soundtown. I like the way it sets it apart a little bit. But
and by the way,
I might just get lazy and call Dude. Who knows?
Yeah. No, but he'll find Flip things. People say Flip, you know.
No, I'm talking about the voice.
And well, now the flip side. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Okay. I will deliver, but absolutely.
I can do it too, you know.
Yeah. Flip side?
Let's move on.
Okay. Mike.
I don't know why that was weird.
I do voices too.
Well, no, but also as far as production.
I can't even get a gig on my own show.
As far as production voices, don't you want to be separate from your own show? I mean, it sounds a little small market.
Yeah, I just like to, as I've always said, Rob, I just give me a good jewelry store commercial.
That's all you need. That's all
right.
You need. Yeah.
Thank you.
Otherwise, it's like Scott Shannon doing all his own voices for his own show.
This is the Sean Hannity program.
All right. Now, I used to oftentimes close with a joke from Seth Meyers, but this was so perfect, Mike. I'm opening. This is one to you from Seth Meyers.
A Florida woman was arrested last week after she told deputies during a traffic stop she had drugs in her body cavity and removed nearly 11 grams of crystal meth. Said the cops, "Ma'am, we pulled you over for a broken taillight."
Just so you know, nothing more annoying. And, you know, we used to hear it a lot when in the city. We hear it here. Yes. But when we're in New York, always, always a car alarm. And this guy has a neighbor whose car alarm continued to go off. But luckily, this guy's a musician. He was able to turn the car alarm into something lovely.
Beautiful.
Is it nice?
Lovely.
My favorite part is the ending. It's coming up here.
<That's>
He did
funny.
The whole song and the alarm kept going. Now, one of my favorite things we ever did is we had a recording session in Mike's garage, and we actually recorded his Harley when he had got new pipes on it. Pipes.
And look, Rob and I have done this over the years multiple times. It just seems to me, I remember one time we recorded squealing pigs at the amusement park.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Those little, and the motorcycle was the same thing. They're just pristine
clean
sounds.
And it's
better.
Exactly what you want. You know, absolutely. The sounds you were playing yesterday, mm-hmm. about half of them I made in my basement. Mm-hmm. I dropped stuff and recorded. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, this is a revving motorcycle being used for good. A baby wouldn't stop crying. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard of taking a kid on a ride in a car to settle it down, but this dad just, keep in mind, he kept the garage door open for ventilation, just revved his motorcycle and the kid shut up. That's the kid. And the kid immediately stopped crying.
Probably, well, terrified.
Yeah, probably crapped their
pants. No, he was happy. The kid was happy. Crap your pants. Crap your pants.
The kid crapped his pants.
That's the problem with the kid. He crapped his pants.
There's crap in his pants. Clean it out.
So, Metallica, if you got a winning formula, stay with it. They've got a new song coming out. It's called If Darkness Had a Son. It sounds like Metallica could have sounded 20 years ago. Enjoy their sound, but I don't know that I could ever go to a concert. I think it would just be a headache. Yes,
be a head banging headache.
I don't know, it's just cool. noisy though. But I mean, really great sounding stuff. You know what happened when he was singing that?
Yeah, he crapped his pants.
Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, it's so good working with you sometimes.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, there was a half marathon being run. And because it was celebrating charity, it was being run in front of the hospital.
Oh.
Well, because of this, there was no way to get the liver that they needed in a time-sensitive
transplant liver,
through the marathon. So the surgeon put on his tennis shoes and ran to the liver.
I had my sneakers, a coat, and my scrubs, and I ran over there rather slow, but we made it over there past, you know, the marathon, dodging through the runners. I did flag down a police officer before I crossed the marathon, thankfully, who agreed to drive me back if I can get the liver and come back.
I'm really grateful to what he did, you know. Because if he hadn't have gotten it in me, I wouldn't have got the liver. And I would have been back waiting again. And who knows what would have transpired, you know, between that time.
I've dealt with a lot of doctors. I don't know that I've ever seen a doctor that would actually leave the hospital and run across the road. Wow. I think that's pretty awesome.
That's taking the oath seriously. That's a beautiful moment right there. I love that.
And in Michigan, I should start by saying the woman and the fetus are okay. A pregnant lady who was working DoorDash got in an automobile accident before she was able to complete her DoorDash delivery. And the officer,
did she flip the car?
She did not. No. Okay. But the baby was crapped his pants.
But it's a stupid show. Really.
But talk about a great cop.
I have DoorDash stuff in the car. Is there any way that you guys can deliver that for me?
Yeah, sure. I'll take it for you. So they give you a good review.
The cop takes the DoorDash stuff.
Got your DoorDash. I'm not sure if you saw what happened.
I did not.
Or wondering why the police are delivering your DoorDash.
Yeah, she told me that. She got in an accident. Yeah.
But the cop got the DoorDash stuff after the accident.
Yeah, well, you didn't follow up with the fact when they opened it, all the food was half eaten.
Half?
And the people were so upset, they crapped their pants.
Like, that's all I got.
We're out of here. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, listen. Every week, we tell you that we'll be back tomorrow with a bonus show, all right? So what I'd like you to do today, if you haven't thought about it in a while, if you're a bonus show subscriber and you love it, give it to somebody.
Great gift.
Get a gift from somebody who you think might like the show. You don't have to guarantee it's going to like, but gift somebody. So for you people out there, that's a little leg up that helps your old show here. So this is me asking you to gift somebody the bonus show and do it today. And then tomorrow we'll have a fabulous bonus show that people can eat. And then after that, they're going to crap their pants.
Crap their pants.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara bonus show. Get it at michaelmaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Get in my belly!
How did you know all that?
Because I made a podcast.
Rocky Road?
U.S. Sunday, greatest country in the world.
If you're waiting for a hug, you might want to pack a lunch.